Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. Just a word about the month of December in it, just because of all of the holiday festivities going on. We have an adjusted schedule. Normally, we have the county commissioners in on the final Tuesday, on the fourth Tuesday of the month. That's December 24th. Trying to round people up on that date, we will just not have a talk show that date. Instead, the county commissioners will be here next Tuesday on the 17th. So be advised of that. Then on the final Tuesday of month, which is the 31st, once again, a traditional special talk show here on KAJO Radio that's already been arranged. We will have members from the Alcoholics Anonymous in, most appropriate, on the 31st of December. So that's what's coming up. Coming up today, though, let's get right down to it. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270. If you want to jot that down, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. It's time for City Staff Day, and our city staff consists of one, but he's got broad shoulders, figuratively speaking here. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio, City Manager. Welcome.
Good morning.
Mr. Kubik.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
I am happy to be here.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, lots of things going on. If you want to just recap what's happened in Grants Pass right now, we've had a tree lighting ceremony and a Christmas parade, and how'd city staff deal with all that? You want to recap all that and just pass out some accolades?
Oh, most definitely. James from our Economic Development Department did an amazing job on the tree lighting, along with Jeff Voigt and others in the community that helped put the tree up, decorate the tree. That's a big event. It gets bigger and bigger each year. And it went off without a hitch this year. It was wonderful. There was a slight delay in the lights turning on, which sort of added to the fun. And then they came on after we did a countdown one more time.
So there was a Christmas Grinch out there somewhere.
There was a little electrical Grinch in the tree lighting, but that was okay. Everyone had good humor on it. It was a wonderful event, along with the Christmas parade that followed the next day. That was not done by the city, but we did provide a small sponsorship to help that event happen. That was a group of just volunteers that wanted to put that together. That seemed to be a very successful event this year also. If you were downtown there for either one of those events, it was packed. The tree lighting, there was just people everywhere. Santa came to town. There was a great time. I know I was personally down there. Actually went and did some glass blowing, did some ornaments.
And, oh, really?
And, yep.
Made your own.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And then from there, we went and ate at a restaurant downtown and then enjoyed the tree lighting event. So there was a lot of people doing similar things.
All right. Well, we know the crowds were tremendous down there, and hope everybody had a great beginning of their holiday season.
Exactly. That really was what it was. It really kicks it off and gets you in the spirit.
All right. Well, in the spirit of things, there's still city business to contend with, and some of that business took place last night in the city council chambers right now. Bring us up to speed on what happened last night. It was a housing forum, and the public was invited. Did we take anything away from that?
Well, you know, the takeaways that we get from these things is that we definitely see a need for housing, more affordable housing. We're looking at really the whole gamut of housing, from affordable to workforce, multifamily. One of the things that we are sort of lacking in Grants Pass is apartment complexes. We are a little low on that inventory, and that provides a definite need for certain individuals for workforce housing and other things. And so that's something that it would be good to focus on also. We also need to try to focus on density levels within the city. We don't have a lot of places to grow. We're up against hills. We're up against ag land. We're up against a number of different things that does prohibit us from growing out further or makes it a little more difficult. So we need to look at ways to infill properties that are either blank right now or underutilized. And these are all things that get discussed at these forums and then ultimately get put into an action plan.
Right. That last night's forum was actually, from my understanding, was put together by, you've got a housing specialist, Amber Neek.
Yes.
Who I'm sure was there. I was not in attendance, nor did I watch. I'm sorry. It's the holiday season. I confess.
There's only so much you can do.
But it was really predicated on the fact that Grants Pass is a rent-burdened area. That means that there are renters out there who are spending more than half of their income on rent, which takes away from food and daycare and all of the other essentials for an American life. Did we get a good attendance in terms of the people taking part? How did it go?
Well, it's not always about the attendance and the number, but it's the feedback that you get. And, you know, the feedback was similar to what Amber was trying to get out there, is that we are rent burden. But we're not the only community. It's everywhere, it seems like, especially in Oregon. Oregon does have that issue. I think a lot of people are recognizing that it's a great place to live, work, and play, and that's not helping us with our housing inventory that we have. And the less housing inventory, the more rent goes up. So that's why we need to try to find opportunities for individuals to grow and be successful and move from one home to another, which frees up inventory, not only in that perspective, but also if we can continue to build a full gamut of housing, not just focus on one type of housing, but if we can build a continuum of housing to allow for opportunities for people to either step up or step down, depending on where they are with their life and their families.
Is that primarily going to be apartment buildings, multifamily housing?
Yeah, multifamily housing is something, like I mentioned earlier, that we need to try to focus on. We're also looking into and what we're seeing coming through is infill projects, and we're getting a lot of those where the properties themselves are much smaller. They're very small in nature. You're not looking at your typical 10,000 square foot lot with a large backyard and that kind of thing. We're looking at homes that are relatively small. They're on the footprint of the property, which gets that additional density levels, which creates some issues when it comes to transportation. And then when we're starting to develop that and we're looking at increasing density, one of the things we have to look for is quality of life issues. So how is that going to affect traffic? How is that going to affect parking on public streets? How is that going to affect people's recreational opportunities to stay healthy? That's why it's important to have a really good, say, for instance, park master plan, because with that plan in place, we could sort of plan for those density levels and recognize that if we are growing in certain areas of the community, we also need to make sure we're out in front of it when it comes to public infrastructure that helps quality of life issues.
Have we identified any specific areas for the type of housing you're talking about?
It's all over. Mm-hmm. It really is. When it comes to infill properties, Fruitdale area, Redwood area, there are a number of spots where we are seeing these homes that are, you know, three bedroom, two bath, or some even two bedroom, one bath type of homes going in that are on smaller lots, and the density level is much higher. And right. That's happening. You could drive around almost anywhere except for the Northeast. It's not, I mean, they're Northeast and Northwest to some degree is extremely established. And those properties are built out. There's not a lot of density infill, but there are some opportunities in those areas.
All right. Yeah. Are most of the areas being taken advantage of right now, or there's still room for growth? What are we talking about?
Well, we've seen
Where would you point a developer to?
We've seen a small, just a decrease in number of permits and those kind of things coming in. It's slowed a little bit, and we're hoping the uptick will happen after the new year. A lot of things occur when you're looking at a transition in the political offices, especially at the national level. The places that we really can point people to is the Fruitdale area, out Williams Highway area, and out 199, the Redwood Highway area. Those are our three larger areas where we have some tracts of land. And when I say tracts of land, I'm saying maybe some acres of land where there's still single property owners that might own 1 to 5 acres or properties along those lines to where developers could purchase those and have some kind of a small subdivision put in place.
Right. This obviously is a situation that can't be, you can't wave a magic wand and make it go away. This is going to take years to develop. How many years? Look in your crystal ball here. What do you expect? Just best guess.
Well, best guess is it's not just Grants Pass, but we have to work together as in the state of Oregon, and we have to look at how things are being developed and people coming in and moving to Oregon, and along the West Coast in general. So I don't have a crystal ball on what, you know, and when that ultimately might feel a relief of pressure, because it has so much to do with economics also, and what's happening out there, things that are not in the control of the city. What we need to try to control is try to make sure that we're focused on our permitting processes, make sure we're focused on our codes and ordinances, and they're kept up to speed with the way building is changing nowadays. Like I mentioned, houses are and properties are a little smaller. There's more infill. There's more density. So with that comes some complications when it comes to public infrastructure. How many houses can you have on a road? How wide does the road have to be? Is it a collector? Is it an arterial? And what does that mean for the community? These are all the things that we really need to try to focus on in order to make sure that the development is healthy development that's going in.
Talk about the permitting process right now, because I think anybody can hear a horror story about a permitting process. And most recently, I've heard some horror stories out of Jackson County, which makes Josephine County look pretty good. But I've heard the stories about here, too. But at the same time, I've seen you bring your staff right in here, and they're all professional. So what is the permitting process like? Is there a way to grease the wheels a little bit here, make it a little more customer-friendly, or what's your assessment of that situation right now?
Yeah, if you look at, and I've asked our community development director, Bradley Clark, on this, and to just give me an idea of how we compare, and we actually are very progressive when it comes to our permitting processes. We have one of the quickest turnaround times in Southern Oregon when it comes to when you turn in something, when you're going to get a response back. So we sort of grease the wheel with every one of our customers. And we have an expectation that we provide that quality customer service. Now, do we hit the mark 100% of the time? We hit the mark an extremely high percentage of the time. There are opportunities where we can learn and grow. If we miss a mark somewhere, that's an opportunity for us to see what we can do better.
By and large, I think you get good grades, but being that everybody is human, sometimes a hitch could get into the situation here. So let's just move on from that a little bit here and give your guys a passing grade, certainly.
Oh, yeah, they definitely deserve it. We've got e-permitting in place where, you know, you have to come in. Yeah, we've done so much when it comes to the building and permitting side, and we're always looking for input. I have either council members or public or contractors come in and talk to me sometimes, but they've got every opportunity to work through our planning department, and we do a good job. We've got great colleagues that work at the city. It's a great place to work. And we also try to make it simple for just the individual person. If you have a small lot, but you've got some space on your side yard or backyard where you'd like to do an equivalent dwelling unit to maybe have some additional rental income or something along those lines, we've spent some resources to have multiple different pre-approved designs online where you could take a look at, you could adopt those for your own, and that's saving you a lot of money and a lot of time. And that's just one example of how we're trying to work with the community to help increase livability and density levels within the city.
Now, are you talking also about accessory dwelling units there?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we've tried to, recognizing that, you know, we are limited on where we can grow, we need to try to do what we can to incentivize individuals that want to provide some additional density on their properties. By doing so, we've provided some additional permitting streamlining, and also we have in place plans that they could just adopt and work off right off the internet.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday Talk Show in progress, and we'll continue right after this important message.
This is Mark Stein.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right now. City Manager Aaron Kubik is in studio here. We've been talking about housing in the area, and there was one area that I wanted to just ask about, because City just purchased that old Asante property at the corner of Midland and Washington that was, as I understand it, kind of designated for a public-private partnership for multifamily housing there. Is that the situation right now? Is that ongoing? Where do we stand with that?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, we just closed on the property. The city purchased a number of acres there and didn't purchase any buildings, but the acreage that was there, the actual location of the old hospital is one of the larger tracts. I think there's around 7.5 acres that we ultimately ended up purchasing. That property is got a great opportunity for, as you mentioned, some kind of mixed-use development, but with a high focus on residential. Whether it be affordable housing or mixed affordable housing, workforce housing, however you want to characterize it, the key focus for purchasing that was council's desire to have the city help incentivize a large housing project. So this will provide us an opportunity to do that. It will provide us an opportunity due to the zoning to have some kind of mixed use. So it could be that it could have, say, for instance, multiple commercial structures and opportunities in, say, lower floors with the upper floors being residential. You see that across the state being developed, and they seem to be successful. We have, and it is an interesting piece of property because there are still a number of structures that are there that are currently being utilized. And so we'll need to figure out how we're going to ultimately utilize that property to its most effective way. But it's going to be working with the other property owners that are in that same block to try to determine how to do that.
All right. I know that AllCare has some offices in that area. There are some other medical situations going on there. Does that property include all of those buildings too?
It doesn't include the buildings. It's interesting. If you look on a map, there was a plan unit development. And so we basically purchased the majority of that plan unit development. Now, plan unit development, for those that are listening, means it's just a private development that came in and had everything reworked and have internal roads and infrastructure established on how they plan to develop this piece of property. So currently right now we own a lot of the property on the west side of that block. Mm-hmm. The east side that's facing, the majority of the east side that's facing Sixth Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is not owned by the city. We don't own those buildings there that are in front. And then there's a couple that are in the middle of the buildings. We didn't purchase those buildings either. We actually have the land all around those buildings and the parking lots around those buildings with the purchase, but we didn't purchase the buildings. And that's sort of weird and quirky, and that's why I mentioned the planned unit development, because the way it was developed and planned, it was planned that way. So there was going to be a larger commonish area that provides for access for those properties, and we still have to provide access to those buildings and those properties with however we develop this, if they stay.
All right. You say we develop. Are we going to be the city of Grants Pass going to be the developer, or are we looking to sell to another developer?
Sure. So the way this works, we purchased the property with urban renewal dollars, urban renewal agency dollars, so that's tax increment financing. And this was a blighted area, which it was. It was underdeveloped in a blighted area. So we purchased it with those dollars. The project itself will – ultimately, your question was,
is there any interest from a private developer that area right now, or is the city going to be the developer?
So ultimately, the way we incentivize these things is we come up with a package and we come up with an idea of what we'd like to have developed there. And that comes from council, and that's council's policy decision that we'll usually get input from the community on what we'd like to see there. We put out a request for proposal. Based on that, hey, this is the type of development we want to see. We have an expectation that there's going to be, say, 150 residential units. There's going to be mixed use with this amount of square feet, that kind of thing. So we put a list together of what we'd like to see. We get it out there. Daily Journal of Commerce is where we usually advertise those big items. And we get responses back from developers. And developers will respond, hey, this is what we can do. This is the cost, sort of known cost that we think we'd be in it. And so we may need to incentivize. Let's say we want affordable housing, we may need to incentivize that for developers. So maybe we will ultimately sell the land at a discount, or provide discounts on system development charges or whatever it is in order to get ultimately what council desires. In the end, the city will likely not be the one that owns the property. It will be provided in a transaction to a private developer who will develop what we're requesting.
All right. We'll get it back on the tax rolls.
That's the plan. And that's the plan with the renewal dollars, is we want to try to incentivize with what we can, public dollars, we want to incentivize private investment. This would be an opportunity for us to say, we spent $2 million on that property, for us to put $2 million or whatever that amount is, because if we sold the property, we wouldn't be giving away $2 million, but to help incentivize with some public dollars, a large private investment, which would be a multiplying factor on the ultimate development on that property.
All right. Well, that's one we'll be watching there. And thank you very much for your insights there. We've got golly, time has just flown by, because we wanted to get into the development with the mobile integrative navigation, MINT, basically.
Yes.
That the city has graciously granted about, I want to say, close to $750,000 toward the purchase of the Parker Place. We don't have a lot of time to do that right now. Would you like to set the scene for that? And we'll follow that with the right after the top of the hour news.
Yeah, certainly. Last week, council did provide direction for us to enter into a partnership to provide some grant dollars for MINT, who provides services to the unhoused. And ultimately, the grant that we're providing will provide an opportunity for them to stay in the current location they have and expand their services. We can talk about what that looks like at the turn of the hour.
All right. Well, we'll be doing that, ladies and gentlemen, once again. Just a quick note about what's going to come up on the Tuesday talk shows. A little bit different schedule this month, just because it's a holiday month. Next week, we'll have the county commissioners in studio here. There will be no show on the 24th. That's Christmas Eve. Go ahead and enjoy the holidays, ladies and gentlemen. And our staff will also. In the meantime, on the 31st, we're expecting the representatives from AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and on the 31st, most appropriate. We hope that's a long time tradition here for KAJO Radio. So we appreciate your indulgence there. That's what's coming up on the Tuesday Talk Show, and more after the top of the hour news.
The holidays should.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment directly to our guest today. That's Aaron Kubik, City Manager of the City of Grants Pass. Aaron, once again, welcome back. Now, we were talking about housing primarily, but we wanted to move on to the situation with the mobile integrative navigation team that is just in the process of purchasing the Parker Place, and the city has just granted some dollars over there to make that happen. What is the situation right now with MINT? They have possession of the properties, but the transaction, I'm assuming, has not been concluded yet.
Right. Yeah. They currently are leasing the structures where they are right now, the Parker Place, which is there on the highway, sort of by Mart there off to the right, and their lease ends in February. And so they provided some outreach to city council, asking if council would be interested in assisting them in acquiring and solidifying that location. There's some benefits for them to do so. We've heard throughout the state of Oregon that if you have a designated location for the services for the unhoused or navigation center services, then you are more likely to receive funding from the state also. It's those programs that aren't solidified in a location that have a harder time starting to get their portion of the funds that are out there and available. So this was a very large step in having MINT take a larger role in our community in providing those services and have funding that will allow them to do that. And that was one of the key pieces, I think, for council, is with our influx of grant dollars that we're going to be providing them, it's going to open the door for MINT to have a lot of state funds coming in. So the city was not interested in purchasing the property. We recognized that MINT was interested in acquiring the property in some form or fashion. So the best way to do that, we came up with a grant program where they are going to be granted dollars to purchase two pieces of property. The one piece of property that they have right now has two structures on it, and they're looking at purchasing that. for about up to $460,000 is the appraised value on that currently right now. And there's also another piece of property that's next to them that's owned by Bi-Mart that they'll potentially be purchasing for up to $200, depending on what the appraisal value comes with that property.
$200,000,
yeah. So what the city has done is they've provided two grant opportunities for Mint for each property up to those dollar amounts. And we will ultimately help with the grant will go to straight to escrow, and that's how those funds will be distributed.
Will that be enough to purchase those properties, or does Mint have other funds coming in to accomplish that?
Based on our knowledge, we believe that the two grants with the dollar amounts that we have provided, the limitation on the dollar amounts that we provided, would be enough to purchase both of those properties. And what that would do for the community in turn is it's going to provide a centralized location for navigation services for the unhoused. It's also going to open up a number of spaces for individuals to rest. Mint has mentioned that they're looking at having some congregate shelter that would come probably later on within 18 months. But initially having some pallet shelter structures, maybe about 20 coming and being put up, along with some tent camping also associated with that of maybe 40 tents or so. So we'd be looking at around 60 within the first 6 months, additional resting sites for individuals in our community. So that's another positive with continued growth as they move into that structure and get additional funding from the state.
Let me ask a question here, because Mint initially acquired that property on lease middle of last summer. Is that?
Yeah, and it was used for like an emergency shelter at times.
Right, mm-hmm. And it has been used for that. And at that time, they were talking about putting up, the number I recall was 17 pallet shelters there with some other situations. But we've yet to see a pallet shelter go up there. We know that some of those buildings are in disrepair. And I think the real question comes down, was it a surprise when they came back and asked for these funds to make the purchase?
Was it a surprise when they asked for funds to purchase the property?
Yes. Yes.
Not necessarily. I mean, Mint has been operating for, I think, just around 2 years or something along those lines. And they've done a lot of great work with the unhoused population that they're serving. So they're still growing and figuring out exactly what services they're wanting to provide, and they're wanting to step up and in this community and provide those services. And I think council was very excited about that opportunity, and that's why they provided the grant dollars. It's ultimately going to help us when it comes to determining what's objectively reasonable in the services that we're providing right now with our two resting sites that we have, and complying with the state's time, place, and manner regulations.
All right. How does this affect what we're doing right now in terms of the J Street property and the property over on 7th next to the police station, those campsites? One's going to have to go by, what, April or May to make room for the water treatment plant coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are our plans right now, and do we have a timetable set up?
So we have a timetable. We're hoping that we're going to be able to start breaking ground on the water treatment plant in May or June. So we would need to have that J Street site closed down by then. And the 7th Street site, we, again, that's a smaller site, but if J Street's going to close in spring, early summer, we need to have either a number of things need to occur. One, we need to have another alternative site, and whether it be temporary or permanent nature, or the community, through whatever means, would need to somehow increase available spaces for unhoused individuals to rest. That's where Mint and this program comes into play.
So Mint would should be set up by that time to absorb certainly a portion of the J Street movement.
Yeah, what we've got in the grant agreements that we have set up and the way it's worded is that they would, within the first 180 days, the 6 months, they would be able to be up and running for maybe some tent camping and the pallet shelters resting, which would provide an inventory of maybe 60 spaces. with some of the other spaces coming in with the congregate shelter after they've worked on the structures that are on site right now. That would be the same time frame that we'd be looking at needing to shut down J Street. So it could be that if it coincides, and there's a lot of could-bes here. I can't speak for the policy board. I can tell you what I've seen in other communities and what seems to work. Ultimately, the city council will be the one that needs to determine what's objectively reasonable. We have to, although we won this Supreme Court case, and the Supreme Court case was a huge win for us. We have national notoriety because we've done a great job, and I just need to continue to do a shout out to our parks crews, to our public safety crews, police and fire, to so many other of my colleagues that over those 4 years were able to maintain quality services for our constituents and everyone utilizing the parks. For us to be able to make that win at this, at the national level was definitely a heavy haul, and it did not go unnoticed that our colleagues are amazing and was able to make that happen.
We'll add our kudos yeah. to that too.
Yes. Yeah. So, we wanted this at the Supreme Court at the national level. However, during the time of our journey through that process, the state of Oregon implemented their own time, place, and manner regulations where the communities in Oregon had to have defined time, place, and manner regulations where individuals could rest that are unhoused. So we are playing around with that along with every other community trying to figure out what truly is objectively reasonable time, place, and manner regulations. The state did not identify and provide a hard definition on what objectively reasonable is. So each community can define what objectively reasonable is. I go into this long story because it's hard for me to answer the question that you had. The council is the one that ultimately will determine what is objectively reasonable. So it could be that with Mint gearing up and having, say, 60 beds, the same time we're needing to close down J Street, they could come back and say, it's objectively reasonable. We do not need to open up a new site. Mint has taken on that need for the community, and we're good to go. It could be that the council could say, no, we need to continue to have that inventory plus Mint's inventory for us to be objectively reasonable. So we need to come up with a new site. So there's a big gamut. So I can't quite answer what that looks like. However, it's going to be something that we will be discussing with the new council coming in, because whatever we do from one side, one gamut to the other, which I sort of explained what it could be, we're going to need to make sure that we have enough time to plan for whatever it is we're doing. So we will, I anticipate working with the new mayor coming in, Mayor Sheriff, that we will work on agenda items that will have a discussion, I'm sure, about the unhoused and what objectively reasonable time, place, and manner regulations are.
There were a lot of could-bes there. Yeah.
Yes, man, it was, I know it was a mouthful. I'm not the policy decision maker.
Yeah, and good job on explaining that, certainly. I'm going through that time frame and I'm thinking that's going to be pretty close if we're talking about Mint being up to speed in 6 months and we need to be off in a little less than 6 months. J Street needs to be clear. Have we talked about an alternative site in the interim before Mint gets up to speed? Is that conversation going on?
The conversation in a public setting has not been going on. I have just been trying to mentally sort of, along with some of my colleagues, and I'm sure others have been sort of thinking, what are our options? You know, if Mint wasn't coming online, which is recently there, we've got the grant program, they'll be coming online. What are our options? Where's next? What's next in the queue? And so, don't have anything specific because it's a very complex issue. And that is what services you're going to provide and the location of those services. And it touches a lot of individuals, the individuals you're trying to serve, plus the people and the properties that surround those areas. They all have some form of an impact, whether it be extremely minor or a larger impact. And some of that impact is associated with how you are running those resting sites. So there's such a huge gamut. As you know, anyone that travels around Oregon or the Pacific Northwest, you'll see how different policies and programs that are put into place can impact a community.
All right. We're going to continue with this. Thank you very much for your insights there, certainly. And we're going to continue once again, 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, we'll be right back.
The professional installation and satisfaction are only a phone call away.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Once again, City Manager Aaron Kubik in studio today. And boy, we've had him on the hot seat. We really appreciate your efforts today, Aaron. You've got a new council coming in. Give us a little timeline on what you expect to see and when will they be taking their seats and what have they done so far in order to ingratiate themselves to you and your staff?
Sure. I guess before I get started on that, I do want to just give a little kudo and shout out to, and as we close out the year, I'd like to just take a moment to thank the outgoing mayor and the city council members. They've been on council for at least some of them 4 years, many more others. Mm-hmm. Valerie's been on there for 7 or 8 years. I just want to thank them for their service in navigating challenges and creating opportunities that we've got here in our community, and that was due to their positive impact and their efforts. Their impact will be seen for years to come, and I greatly appreciate that.
Let's underline the fact that they don't get paid at all.
No, it's all volunteer, and they put so much time and effort into it, and it's because they love the community. So I just want to say thank you to the mayor and those council members that are going out. At the same time, I'm incredibly excited about what's ahead. We have a group of a new mayor and new council members coming in. We've already had council orientations with them we sit down and we have a council handbook for them, and we talk about the charter. We talk about public meetings law. We talk about what it is that the city does and what their role is and what's the role of the mayor, what's the role of the council president, what's the role of the city manager. So we go through, and it's a full day event. They've already spent a full day with me and all the department directors and got a little taste for what they're getting into. We follow.
Anybody asking for a recount now?
Yeah, no one ran away. No one like, I'm out of here. No, they were all pretty jazzed. We also, last week, took them on a tour of all of our facilities. So we went and we toured our water treatment plant, our wastewater treatment plant, some parks, a police station, a fire station, our fleet facilities. And so they can get an idea of the infrastructure and what they're looking at. I think it's extremely important that they can touch and feel what they're doing when it comes to making policy decisions. So we try to make sure that they have a familiarity with all of our operations. So they've already spent a few days already, not even sworn in yet. We will be swearing in the new council January 6th. We're going to have a special just council meeting on that Monday just to swear them in. We're not doing business. We're not doing a workshop. It is just a swearing in. So we're going to have an opportunity. It'll be filmed. It'll be regular, just like one of our normal meetings.
It'll be available on YouTube.
It'll be available. Yep. So we'll have the swearing in of the newly elected officials coming in with their first official workshop meeting on January 13th, followed by a business meeting on January 15th.
All right, so that's coming up, and thank you for that timeline right now, because there are no scheduled meetings between now and the end of the year for the City Council. Do you foresee anything popping up that would call them back into session at all?
I don't see anything. I think they did a really good job in providing their last bit of direction to myself and my colleagues in order to get accomplished what they wanted to have accomplished at the end. And one of the biggest things that they wanted to go away with was supporting this Mint project and getting some additional services for the unhoused, which could have a positive impact on our time, place, and manner, objectively reasonable definition. And so with the direction that they provided there, they provided me with the authority to offer the grant and distribute the funds, and it was all buttoned up in that motion. So I don't anticipate any additional special meetings or meetings needed. We're already in the process of following that policy direction. We've got the grant agreement and all the documents associated with that to Mint. So they're looking at that and getting the grant application to us. And we'll be working with them through that process as they get some additional information that we need in order to get things ready.
All right. Aaron, I've got about 4 minutes left. What should people take away from today's program, and what do they need to know about their city government between now and the end of the year, or between now and January 6th?
Well, one, I just hope that everyone has an opportunity to appreciate and enjoy the holidays as they do with their families. I think that it's just absolutely wonderful to be in Grants Pass. It's like a Hallmark movie. I mean, seriously, it was. I mean, with the Christmas tree lighting and all the things that you do and all the neat things that we have and everyone who comes together to make our community look amazing for the holiday season, it's incredible. So making sure you take time to enjoy that and just look around at how wonderful we do have it and spend time with your loved ones. But the other thing also is, as you gear up for the new year, as we are thinking about strategic planning, thinking about budget season, all that kind of stuff, we do have some wonderful opportunities if you're wanting to give back to your community, if you're wanting to have some community service. We have over 11 advisory committees, and we're always looking for individuals. Whether if you've got a financial niche and you love numbers and you want to work on the budget, we've got a budget committee. If you love trees, we've got a tree committee. If you like art, we've got an art committee. If you like tourism, we've got tourism. We've got economic development. We've got historic buildings and sites commission. We have planning commission. We have a sustainability commission. We've got a public safety, police and fire committee. We have so many different bike and ped. I'm sure I'm probably missing one, but we have so many different opportunities for people to volunteer to help make their community better. And it's individuals like your listeners here today that bring some ideas to us that we can work through and make recommendations to council so they can make informed policy decisions in what's best for the community. So I would definitely encourage individuals in the new year, if they have some time and they want to do some community service, to take a look at our website, grantspassoregon.gov. We have all the advisory committees there. We have a page that shows you what positions are open. It's also a great page just to meander around so you learn a lot more about what our government provides and the services that we provide you. It's got a lot of good information there.
Government of the people.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, Aaron, we want to thank you very much for your time today and wish you and your family and all of your staff a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
And to all of you, stay tuned. More to come right here on KAJO Radio. This has been the Tuesday Talk Show.
This is the time of year.